Good morning, everyone. Welcome to another Psalms devotional time. I'm Pastor Jason Van Bemmel from Forest Hill Presbyterian Church. It's Wednesday morning, May 5th, Cinco de Mayo. I hope you had a good Star Wars day yesterday. Hope you enjoyed it. I watched a tiny bit of the launch of the SpaceX Falcon 9 rocket yesterday as they're sending more of those Starlink satellites up to provide worldwide high-speed internet. Anyway, it was funny to hear the countdown there. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, liftoff. May the force be with us. Which is, made me chuckle as a Star Wars fan. And then they kind of looped it, so they went back to the beginning and played the opening of what they had done for their broadcast. And they acknowledged Star Wars Day and actually said that the Falcon 9 rocket from SpaceX is named after the Millennium Falcon, which I didn't know. Falcon 9, because it has 9 engines. Anyway, I have been a space geek and a Star Wars fan my whole life, pretty much. So, if you didn't know that about me, now you do. But, more importantly, I love the Word of God, and I love these times that we get to get together and dig into the Psalms together. We've done 146 Psalms together. We have 4 more to go. So, Psalm 35 today, Psalm 37 on Friday, and then Monday and Wednesday of next week, Psalms 38 and 39. And with that, we will have all 150 complete. And I'm going to work to create a page that brings them all together. But you can access them all on YouTube, on Sermon Audio, or on Facebook. So if you're ever looking for a particular psalm and you are struggling with what it means, or you're wanting help going through it, or you're just reading it devotionally and you want some more insight or how to pray it, it will be there for you to pull up for your future use. And I don't know what we're going to do for our devotional times after that. I've really enjoyed this. Started off as just something to do for a few times to encourage during COVID quarantine shutdown back last spring. And here we are well over a year later, and we're finishing up all 150 Psalms. Plus we did side crash course in Ephesians, a crash course in Colossians, I think a crash course in 1 Peter or 2 Peter. Anyway, I can't remember what we did. But they're all on there if you want to look at them. Let's pray and let's dig into Psalm 35 this morning, shall we? Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this time together. Thank you for the ways that you've blessed our times together over this past year. We do pray that you would help us as we look at Psalm 35 this morning. Guide us by your Spirit to be led into true insights into your word and a good application of it to our own hearts and lives through Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. Amen. Psalm 35. It is a psalm of David. Contend, O Lord, with those who contend with me. Fight against those who fight against me. Take hold of shield and buckler and rise for my help. Draw the spear and javelin against my pursuers. Say to my soul, I am your salvation. Let them be put to shame and dishonor who seek after my life. Let them be turned back and disappointed who devise evil against me. Let them be like chaff before the wind with the angel of the Lord driving them away. Let their way be dark and slippery with the angel of the Lord pursuing them. For without cause they hid their net for me. Without cause they dug a pit for my life. Let destruction come upon him when he does not know it. And let the net that he hid ensnare him. Let him fall into it to his destruction. Then my soul will rejoice in the Lord, exulting in his salvation. All my bones shall say, O Lord, who is like you, delivering the poor from him who is too strong for him, the poor and needy from him who robs him. Malicious witnesses rise up. They ask me of things that I do not know. They repay me evil for good. My soul is bereft. But I, when they were sick, I wore a sackcloth, afflicted myself with fasting. I prayed with my head bowed on my chest. I went about as though I grieved for my friend or my brother, as one laments his mother. I bowed down in mourning. But at my stumbling, they rejoiced and gathered. They gathered together against me. wretches whom I did not know, tore at me without ceasing, like profane mockers at a feast. They gnash at me with their teeth. How long, O Lord, will you look on? Rescue me from their destruction, my precious life from the lions. I will thank you in the great congregation. In the mighty throng, I will praise you. Let not those rejoice over me who are wrongfully my foes, and let not those wink the eye who hate me without cause. For they do not speak peace, but against those who are quiet in the land, they devise words of deceit. They open wide their mouths against me. They say, "Aha, aha, our eyes have seen it." You have seen, O Lord, be not silent. O Lord, be not far from me. Awake and rouse yourself for my vindication, for my cause, my God and my Lord. Vindicate me, O Lord, my God, according to your righteousness. And let them not rejoice over me. Let them not say in their hearts, "Aha, our heart's desire." Let them not say, "We have swallowed him up." Let them be put to shame and disappointed altogether who rejoice at my calamity. Let them be clothed with shame and dishonor who magnify themselves against me. Let those who delight in my righteousness shout for joy and be glad and say evermore, "Great is the Lord who delights in the welfare of his servant." Then my tongue shall tell of your righteousness and of your praise all the day long. Amen. Whenever the Lord brings us out of trouble, hardship, calamity, oppression, we are to respond by praising the Lord all day long. Well, that is Psalm 35. It's a little bit of a longer one. I don't know that we'll have time to talk about every single line and every word. But let's look at the big picture of what's going on here. David, who wrote this, is being unfairly attacked and opposed by people that he has loved, by people that he has been family with, that he has been, you know, together with. So we get this here in verses 12 to 14. When they were sick, I wore sackcloth, afflicted myself with fasting, bowed with my head on my chest, went about as though I grieved for a friend or a brother. So, I mean, I think of King Saul as being one example from David's life. David was so loyal to Saul and loved him and served him and would not harm him, would not lift his hand against the Lord's anointed, refused to be an instrument of destruction in the life of Saul. Of course, made a covenant with Saul's son Jonathan, where, you know, they defended each other, they protected each other, they served each other. So David was like family to King Saul, and King Saul just pursued him. Or another example from David's life would be Absalom, his own son, who David loved, of course, his son, who he longed for and was reconciled to, even though Absalom killed Amnon. That whole story we're not going to go into, but this was his son, and his son led this insurrection to overthrow David and drive him from the throne. So I don't know which of those times, or maybe another time, that David penned this lament. Joab was the commander of the army under David and was quite a character. Maybe something that Joab did that caused David to write this. But for us, as well as for Christ, the application is quite clear. Of course, all psalms are ultimately about Christ, and we'll see where Jesus is in this psalm. But for us, you know, we have an enemy who hates us, Satan, and really without cause, other than the fact that we're made in the image of God and we're redeemed and beloved by God as children of God. So because we are God's image bearers and God's redeemed and loved people, Satan hates us and pursues us. But also the world hates us. And on that human level, Psalm 35 gives us good instruction in the fact that on a human level, a believer is always to love everyone, right? A believer is always called to love everyone in the world. There's three categories of people that we have that we interact with at one level or another in the world. There are our brothers and sisters in Christ, and we are to love them even as Christ has loved us with a self-sacrificing love. We are to consider their needs even above our own. We are to consider them as worthy of more honor than ourselves. We are to look not only to our own interests, but also to the interests of them. We are to care for them and to pray for them and to encourage them and to build them up. That's our brothers and sisters in Christ. And then there's our neighbors. And the second great commandment is to love your neighbor as yourself. So we are to love our neighbor as much as we love ourselves. We're to care about them. And then the third category of people, which are addressed in Psalm 35, are our enemies. People who hate Christians, hate Christianity, hate us personally, have attacked us without cause, without reason. We don't know why. We are to love them too. Jesus said, love your enemies. He says, if you only love those who love you, what are you doing differently than an unbeliever? Love your enemies and do good to them. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who persecute you. Wow. We are to love even our enemies. Yes, we are. We're not to insult them. We're not to attack them. We are to love them. And we see David doing that. These are his enemies who are attacking him, but he has only loved them. Now, he does cry out to the Lord for their downfall. He does cry out to the Lord for justice, but he has not lifted his hand to treat them in a way that would be wicked or selfish or unloving. So he asks the Lord to contend with those who contend against him, to fight against those who fight against him, to be his help. And I love this line, say to my soul, I am your salvation. That's what we need to hear from God. We need to hear from God through his word, applied to our hearts by the Holy Spirit, that voice that says, I am your salvation. We don't need to be our own savior. Sometimes we're tempted to try to take things in hand ourselves and be our own savior, but we don't need to do that. We don't need to do that. So this is an imprecatory psalm, and we've seen some of these before. These are direct prayers against the enemies. Let them be put to shame. Let them be turned back. Let them be like chaff before the wind. Let their way be dark and slippery. If evildoers are doing evil in the world, then we should pray for the Lord to oppose them and to stop them. We should not attack them ourselves. We should not be unkind or unloving to them. But we can pray that God would put an end to wickedness in the world, that God would put an end to their evil doing. And notice that he asks for the angel of the Lord to be driving them away and the angel of the Lord to be pursuing them. I've told you before, in the Old Testament, when you see the angel of the Lord, that is a reference to the Lord Jesus Christ as in his pre-incarnate role, the way he shows up throughout the Old Testament is as the angel of the Lord. And there's several places when the angel of the Lord shows up and a person will interact with them, like Gideon or like Jacob. And Jacob wrestles with them and Gideon gives them an offering. And then they realize, wait a minute, I've just seen the Lord. That the angel of the Lord is the Lord, is God, come down in human form. Appeared to Abram and Sarah, appeared to Samson's parents. So the angel of the Lord is the Lord Jesus Christ as God, come down in bodily form to interact with his people. So he's asking for justice from the Savior, right? From the one who is the salvation. I am your salvation. We've said before, that's the same Hebrew word as the name for Jesus. So he wants the one who is his salvation to be the one who drives away and pursues his enemy. But then he says, then my soul will rejoice in the Lord, exulting in his salvation. We're not going to have time to go through all of this. It's just too much. But I want us to see this pattern that he's calling on the Lord to deliver him. He's waiting for the Lord to deliver him. And when the Lord delivers him, he says, how long, O Lord, will you look on? Rescue me. I will thank you in the great congregation. In the mighty throng, I will praise you. So here we see, then my soul will rejoice in the Lord, exulting in his salvation. All my bones will say, O Lord, who is like you? And here it's, I will thank you in the great congregation, in the mighty throng, I will praise you. And then at the very end, then my tongue shall tell of your righteousness and of your praise all the day long. For me, when I see that this is the rhythm of this, when you're suffering at the hands of enemies of injustice, don't sin against God by returning evil for evil, but overcome evil with good. Trust the Lord, cry out to the Lord, and then when the Lord brings you through that, you praise him. And when the Lord brings you through that, you praise him. Right? And you praise him together with his people. Let those who delight in my righteousness shout for joy and be glad and say evermore, great is the Lord who delights in the welfare of his servants. So we come through calamity and we praise the Lord. In a sense, we do that weekly, don't we? Every week we suffer attacks, hardship, struggles, conflict. But we're called week by week, each week, trust in the Lord, cry out to the Lord, love our neighbor, love our enemy, and then gather with God's people and say thank you to the Lord. But ultimately, I think this refrain, this pattern is pointing us ahead to where we're ultimately going, which the Lord's Day is a preview of. Every Lord's Day morning when we gather for worship, it's a preview of that great gathering in for worship at the end of all things, when all of our enemies will be finally and fully defeated. They'll all be thrown in to the lake of fire, including death and Hades and Satan and the beast and the false prophet and all the deceivers of the world. All the enemies of God and his people will be gone forever. They will be swept away. It's exactly what is asked for in Psalm 35 will be answered. They will be swept away. They will be like chaff before the wind. They will be gone forevermore. And what will our eternal response be but to praise the Lord? Let's make it a habit to anticipate that by gathering with God's people week by week on the Lord's Day as we celebrate the weekly deliverances and triumphs, when we look ahead to that final deliverance and triumph. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for such a great salvation that we have in our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son. We thank you that he is the angel of the Lord and the salvation of our souls. He is the captain of our salvation. He is the author and finisher of our faith. He is our defender and our protector, our rock and our refuge. We thank you that in Jesus Christ we are saved from all of our enemies. And so we praise you for that. By faith now, even as we remain in the struggle, we praise you and thank you for the victory that you give and the victory that you will give, for the victories we experience in this life and for the final victory that we will experience forever. And so, Father, stir our hearts to be thankful and joyful, worshipful and loving and trusting more and more day by day. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Psalm 35. I hope it's an enjoyable one for you now. I hope you can go back and reread it with a fresh perspective. It's always what I want from these times together is we just sit very informally and unpack God's word together, that it helps you to understand his word better and see him more clearly and worship him more with all of your life. So I hope that helps just a little bit, moving you in that direction. We will gather again on Friday morning for Psalm 37. Looking forward to that. Until then, have a blessed day in the Lord.